Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
For most women, the menopause happens around the age of 50. However, for those who've had a cancer diagnosis, it can happen a lot earlier. Treatments such as chemotherapy and radiotherapy can bring on the menopause, and the symptoms of that and the disruption to a woman's day-to-day life can be immense. And until now, there's been no specialist support for women related to menopause and cancer. But ARC, the Cancer Support Centre, and Dr. Deirdre Lundy, who's a GP and women's health expert, are hoping to change that. And Dr. Lundy is with me here in the studio. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
When you came in here in the last few minutes, you said this is really important.
Why? It really is. I wasn't aware until I started working in specialty menopause service how disjointed and piecemeal the advice being given out to patients who've been diagnosed with cancer was surrounding menopause. You know, you can be very, very lucky and go to a cancer service that really embraces everything that you may experience and gives you really good, accurate advice. And you may be told, well, you don't have much of a choice. If you want to beat this thing, this is how you have to go. And if you're having any problems, talk to your GP. Mm-hmm. Like as if it might accidentally happen that you might have a problem after someone took your ovaries away, you know. So very irregular delivery of information. And I just think that's unacceptable. Yeah.
So with the treatments, and I mentioned chemotherapy and radiotherapy, which people would be most familiar with, is it always the case that menopause is triggered?
So it kind of depends on which area of the body the radiotherapy is being directed towards. So in your pelvis, sure. You know, your ovaries live down there, your womb lives down there. So it's unlikely high dose pelvic radiotherapy isn't going to have some sort of an impact on your ovaries. Where, you know, if it's other parts of the body, they protect the pelvis, so less so. Chemotherapy is very variable. Again, it depends on the cocktail and how much of it you have to take. Younger women, I think, are often maybe, this is a generalization, but they may be more influenced insofar as they're more reliant possibly on their ovary hormone. They're used to having a very high dose of ovary hormone. So even if they get a temporary disruption to ovarian function, they stop bleeding, they stop making eggs, they may notice a big change. So it's very hard to predict beforehand how much, if at all, you'll be impacted by your cancer therapies, but I think it should be discussed. And more importantly, you should be able to signpost towards who's going to help you, who's going to give you good advice.
Before that treatment starts.
Absolutely, yeah.
And in some cases then, these changes that happen, do they reverse themselves or they are reversible?
So they can do. Yeah. I think sometimes it depends on the cocktail again in the regime, but you know, it's not all a complete disaster for people. Mm-hmm. And certainly like some of our patients, we have a premature menopause service in the National Maternity Hospital in Hollis Street. Some of our patients are 17 and 18 years of age who've been thrown into a permanent menopause because of cancer therapies. And it breaks my heart that on some occasions, the time was not urgent, and yet nobody talked to them about preserving their eggs or their fertility going forward. So we don't have a kind of a rule book when it comes to caring for people with cancer and their ovarian health, their fertility and stuff.
I mean, that must be, maybe you could tell us how the patients you deal with respond to that. It must be a massive shock.
They're heartbroken. Like, it's hard enough to be told you have cancer as a kid, but then to be told you might have been able to have been offered procedures and therapies that would have preserved your fertility if somebody had actually steered you in that direction and you didn't get that opportunity. I mean, that's world shaking.
Yeah. Then when it comes to treatment, and if you're using HRT to deal with the symptoms of menopause and you also have cancer, what's the interplay?
So there's actually kind of a rule book. There are rules around it. And the good news is Professor Donald Brennan, he's working with Yvonne Lucas in our cancer support to make sure that everybody who deals with patients who may be diagnosed with cancer knows what the rules are. So obviously, if your cancer had a hormone sensitivity, estrogen, progestogen sensitivity, you want to be really, really cautious about playing with hormone therapies. And for the most part, we would say, no, try other stuff, certainly at first. But there's so many cancers, reproductive cancers, things like cervix cancer, which is quite topical at the moment, womb lining cancers, you know, cancers of the muscle of the womb. None of these things have hormone receptors in them. So why on earth would people be told, oh, you just have to suffer and bear with, you know, after surgeries or radiation or chemotherapy?
So your aim is to make it clear
what
you can do and what you can't do.
Yeah, exactly.
So is that what you're doing then with ARC? Just explain how this is working.
So it's tomorrow, there's a big meeting, which you can still register for and come along. I'm going to do a big, long talk on menopause symptoms that may happen after cancer therapies and what you can do about them yourself at home, what ARC can help you with, and what hormone specialists like myself can help you with. And anybody who wants to can still go on the ARC website and register for that, you know. Okay. So that's a good thing. We're then going to use that as a launching place for a new scheme that Yvonne Lucas has developed. She's a head of cancer services in ARC, where people who are embarking on cancer therapy can do 8 sessions of like education and empowerment so that they know what's like, they may not be affected at all, which would be fabulous. Mm-hmm. But if things start to go pear-shaped for them, they now know what to expect, why I feel like this, which symptoms are my cancer, which symptoms are my chemotherapy, which symptoms are my menopause. And then they can seek medical help depending on.
So I'm sure it's very difficult if you're going through it to decipher, you know, what's causing this way that I feel or this thing that's happening to my body.
They didn't bring up this program out of the air. Like, they actually did a big interactive session with some of the ARC service users. And some of the, you know, the kind of evidence that the patients were giving, the statements, personal experiences, some of the ladies were saying that I've used up my empathy quotient. Like, everyone was so sorry for me when I had breast cancer or this cancer or whatever. And now that I've menopause, it's like I don't feel I can whine about it or complain about it anymore because I should feel lucky to be alive. And I call BS on that. You should have quality of life.
Yeah. Absolutely. So people can go to the ARC website and find details of how to do that course. The problem is, though, that if you've had a cancer diagnosis, that in itself is so overwhelming, which I know you've touched on before. That dealing with this other impact, you know, how do you even cope with that in terms of what you're facing?
Do you know, I don't know. And I'm a bit of a charlatan in that I've never had a cancer diagnosis personally. So, you know, until that day comes, like when I give normal menopause advice to your typical menopausal women, I feel empowered to do so because I've lived it. You know, I had an early menopause that I didn't really know what the heck was happening to me. I have no personal lived experience of what happens to them. But all I can say to them is that as much as you can do through the fatigue, through all the other trials, you need to educate and empower yourself because you can't always rely on the accuracy and the thoroughness of the information you're getting provided. Your cancer people have one job, and that is to cure your cancer and keep you alive. They don't have possibly the training and sometimes the staff to take you through the next 180 years of your life, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of staff, I saw a report in the paper in October about your own clinic, the menopause clinic at the National Maternity Hospital, and women are waiting up to 5 months to get initial contact. And you at the time said that it was due to critical understaffing. What's happening with that?
What had happened was that the Minister for Health, thank you very much, Stephen, gave us loads of money to set up these services. 6 hospitals were invited. But it actually, for many, many months, ours was the only one. So as a result of that, our wait list started to climb and climb and climb. Now the Rotunda has opened. The one down in Limerick is opened. Cork has just started to recruit. Galway has appointed someone. So I think by the end of this year, going into next year, that 5-month wait, which, by the way, is quite respectable when you think it's 18 months to 2 years in the UK to see a menopause specialist, will actually start to pare down a little bit.
Because you sounded at the time, when I was reading your comments, you sounded quite frustrated with this.
Well, the health service in general is grossly understaffed. We know this. You can't get a GP, let alone a menopause specialist. So I don't know, and I wouldn't like the job of trying to figure out a way through that chronic problem, endemic problem in health services, but definitely it's going to have an effect on all health provision, whether it be my clinic or, you know, cancer.
Yeah, the knock-on therapies. Effect.
Yeah.
Because there has been so much discussion around menopause in the last 12, 18 months, and you've been part of that, that there's a greater demand for specialists.
And, you know, most of that work can be done in general practice if we had enough GPs in chairs to actually see the patients. So what I've been doing on the sideline is every doctor who writes writes to me with a patient, please could you see, even in the situations where I don't really, they don't meet the criteria for a complex, I would write back a letter, say, listen, this is all you need to know. This is all you need to do. You can help her by doing ABC. So I'm doing a, you know, advice service for the GPs in the area as well.
Okay. And that's, you know, I mean, you would want to see patients face to face if you can, but you're trying to bridge the gap. Now, going back to that talk, anyone who wants to register for it tomorrow, it's online at 10:30. You email info@arccancersupport.ie and they'll sign you up there. And again, go back to ARC Cancer Support if you want to have a look at their 8-week course about cancer and the menopause and the hormonal impacts. Deirdre, lovely to see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Deirdre Lundy. And we've so many questions for our health insurance expert, Dermot Good, that he's back with us after the break.
Today with Clareburn. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.